But we began this series called Who is God? And what we did was we touched on the character of God, the very nature in which God operates. But we talked about this, how our feeling, no matter what we feel, no matter what we see, that our feeling does not define or determine the goodness of God. It doesn't determine the character of God, the nature of God. It doesn't reflect God at all. God is good no matter what. He's good no matter what. I say this many times over. And believe me when I say this, I am so grateful for what God's done in my life. So grateful for it. I'll start crying if I think about it too long. Because it's unbelievable what God's done, how he's transformed my life. Only God does it. Only Jesus can do Jesus stuff. And only Jesus can do what he did in my life, take a heroin addict and just remove him from all that life and put him on fire for him. Only God does that. But I'm going to tell you right now that even if God would not have delivered me from heroin addiction, still would have never took any of his goodness away, ever. It was my choice. It's your choice how you live. And it never would have reflected. We don't determine how God gets glory. God receives glory no matter what. God is God, right? So no matter what we're going through, no matter our feeling, this isn't a feeling walk, this is a faith walk. And no matter what we feel, God is always God. He's never changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And nothing that we go through makes him any less good. Amen. But though at times, it's not easy to always view it that way. Why? Because this world, man, I'll tell you what, it has an undying devotion, an undying commitment to try to destroy us. And it's constant. It's unrelenting. It's every day, all day, the enemy is trying to get us off our square, trying to get us to question the goodness of God constantly, over and over and over. And if we don't know who God is, he will be successful in that. It's true. I see it happen all the time with people. I see it happen all the time because they don't know who God is. They don't know how powerful and mighty our God is. That he never leaves us nor forsakes us. That we don't have to fear. We don't have to be terrified of anything that comes our way because God is right there with us. Matter of fact, scripture says that he goes before us. So he don't stand beside us. He's before me and behind me because he is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he goes before us, helping us through this thing called life. And we can count on that. We can count on that. Also, what we talked about, to understand a little bit about who God is, as we talked about what God actually created. What he actually created. See, God never created death. God didn't create death. God never created evil. It's not our God. He didn't create evil. He didn't create death. He didn't create disease. He didn't create these things. We looked in Genesis and we've seen how God never created death. He created life. It said he breathed life into Adam. That's what God did. He breathes life. He speaks life, not death over us. He never spoke cursing. He blessed. Listen, we'll be a place of blessing. We'll always be a people. Our leadership, we always talk about we will bless. We are going to be a people of blessing because that's God. God blesses. He doesn't curse. God never sent disease. See, what happened was when the fall came, sin came, and sin came death, disease, mayhem, destruction, evil, all of those things. Matter of fact, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 31 says this, and God saw everything that he had made. God saw everything that he had made. He didn't say, I saw everything that was made. He said, I saw everything that I have made. And it was very good. Not just good, very good. Very good. This is what God has created. The bottom line is, though, is there is evil in the world. There are evil people in the world. I've met a few. I'm trying to help Josh out. It's a work in progress. I'm just totally kidding, but There are evil. There is evil in the world, and there's evil people in the world. But God never created those people to be evil. God created them in the image and likeness of Him to be good, but they have made choices with life. This is what happened. If you remember, two statements that I talked about last week. I don't know if you guys will remember. One was that God didn't create everything. You remember that? God didn't create everything. And just because God knows everything doesn't mean He plans everything. And the illustration I used was what Daniel Kalinda gave. And I say this all the time, that if you can't say it better than someone, say what they say, give them the credit. But Kalinda said this. He said, he was talking to this young man. And this young man said, I can destroy your religion with just one sentence. Of course, Kalinda's like, what are you talking about? The young man says to him, he says, well, you believe two things that are totally contradictory to one another. He says, you believe that God created everything, and you believe that God is all good. He said, but if that's true, if God created everything, then He can't be all good, because that means that God created evil. He says, well, I don't believe that God created everything. And what he did was he started to elaborate on what God didn't create, to show the notion that God did not create everything. God never created love, because God is love. God didn't have to create joy. He is joy. God didn't have to create peace. He is peace. God didn't have to create freedom. In His presence, there is freedom. So the very essence of who God is good, freeing, joy, peace. He didn't have to create these things, just like He never created evil. Then we always want to talk about how God knows everything. It's true, He's omniscient. God does know everything, but that doesn't mean He planned it. God never planned for you to be sick. It wasn't God's plan. Did He know it was going to happen? Sure. But He didn't plan that. That wasn't His plan for your life. This is true. God never planned that. Just because God knows something doesn't mean He plans it for our life. But we can get confused because of all of these things that are coming at us constantly. We can start to buy into this thought that God sent this my way. God did this to me. God sent this way. No. God never intended on me to be a drug addict. Never. That was His plan for my life. Ever. Listen, God has good plans for you. He has a hope for you, a future for you. He has plans to prosper you in His hands. This is God's plan for us, and I just want us to be clear about this, who God is and what He has for our lives. However, there is an enemy. There's an enemy out there roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's true. And guess what? We're in a war. There is hurts in war. There is pain in a fight. You ever been in a fight? I've been in a fight, a few of them. Julie wins most of them. I get a few licks in. But when you're in a fight, it hurts. And that's what we're in, church. We are in a fight for our very existence, for our very lives. Let me tell you something. Only the strong will survive. Meaning simply this, my strength is found in the Lord. Only those who are in Christ Jesus will survive it. That's it. There is no other way. You better be found in Christ or the enemy's going to tear you up. It's that simple. You're not strong enough for Him, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength today. So be found in Christ, and we remain steadfast in our walk. Remain steadfast. If you remember what James talks about, he talks about how evil, right, that God doesn't send evil at all, that God tempts no man, neither does He tempt them with evil. Right, but he says, listen, I understand that there's evil, so remain steadfast. Isaiah 57 says this, 50 verse 7, says, the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Remember, I always say, when the therefore, ask what the therefore is there for. So you look previously, right? He says, therefore, I have not been disgraced. Why? Because the Lord helps me. And because the Lord helps me, I will set my face like a flint, meaning I will be steadfast. I will be unwavering. I won't let the wind and the waves push me, like Miss Becky had said, around and maybe dictated by the winds, because I'm going to set my face like flint and say, Jesus, I trust in you, in your word. I'm steadfast on the word of God. This is how we live for Christ. And God has nothing but good plans. So we'll never be disgraced as long as we are found in Jesus. Matter of fact, then James goes on to talk about this. He says, listen, God doesn't tempt with evil, neither does he tempt with any man. Then he goes on, he goes, matter of fact, God only sends good gifts. Then he takes it a step further. Matter of fact, God only sends perfect gifts. Perfect. And he never changes, the Bible says. So that means this, that 1,000 years ago, because he was given good gifts, he's going to give the same good gifts today to you. If we are found in him, we've got to be found in Christ, right? Making sure, man, that we understand who God is. You know, as I was going through this week, I had an interesting week this week. So here I am going through my week and enjoying my week, actually. Golfing and doing all these things that pastors do, right? Doing ministry, right? Doing all that stuff, right? Being a husband, being a dad, being an uncle. I was enjoying my week. And I'm going through what we're getting ready to preach today, what I thought we were going to preach today. See, I had a preconceived notion where we were going to go this week. I had it 2 weeks ago, where we were headed. Thought I knew exactly where we were going. So this week, I was kind of just walking through the motions. Anybody ever been there where you just go through the motions, you just get up and it's just status quo, right? So I had one of those weeks. You know, and I get to midnight Friday night and the Lord just jerks the rug out. He says, that's not even where I want you, nowhere near it. So then the Lord actually rebukes me pretty hard. I don't like to be rebuked. Don't feel good. But the Lord started to talk about his presence with me. He says, here you are trying to explain to people who I am in an intellectual way. I said, okay. He said, here you are trying to put together good presentations and all of these smart articulate words and all of this stuff. You're trying to make it intellectual. He said, this ain't an intellectual thing. This is a heart thing. I said, okay, God. So I started to think about the heart and what God is meaning. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and believe in your heart. On to the next one, Jules. That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If we believe in our heart, so the Lord's saying to me, it's a hard thing, and you're trying to make it a head thing. Jesus talks about in John chapter 14, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, over and over. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. For I am in the Father, the Father's in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. Let me tell you something. If we don't have this thing in our heart, that would make no sense. That don't make no sense. What are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. Man, like Paul talks about, he says, to people who don't understand, the gospel is foolishness. The cross is foolishness. But for us who believe in our heart and confess with our mouths, it's the power of God. Because why? It's a heart thing. I can't actually explain exactly why the creator of all things gave his life for me on the cross at Calvary. I can't explain it. I just know it to be true. I can tell you what the word says. But I'm saying I can't articulate it in a vocabulary word for a person who is smart to make sense of it, to equate it with anything, because it doesn't equate. It's just God. He started to talk to me about this. He said, here you are, Keith, trying to explain who I am to my people, and you're not even spending any time with me. Broke my heart. I said, oh, man. It was actually devastating because I longed to be a good son. But I dropped the ball. And listen to me, I'm gonna be clear about something. I was in my word for hours studying God's word, for hours. He wasn't talking about me sitting there trying to pull from him. He was talking about me just sitting and eating with him. How much time are we just spending with God? How much time are you just sitting in the presence of the Most Holy? Not just tossing up a toss-up prayer because you got to go to work. How much time are we spending in the presence of the Most High God, with the living God, to live for Jesus with everything we got, to not replace him, to put him at the top? So I'm going to tell you right now, man, I always say this. If you put Christ where he belongs, if I have Jesus where he belongs at the top, I do everything better. I have time for everything else. I can't explain it. God says this, Jesus says this. He says, you can't add 1 minute to your day. Not 1 minute to your life is what he says, actually. He says, you can't add 1 hour to your whole life. To the whole span of your life, you can't add 1 hour. Something as easy as that is for me. In other words, God will add time for us to take care of what we need to. It might not even make sense. But the days just seem longer because we put him number one instead of number two. You know, I always make sure when I take Pastor Jim out that I'm not always pulling from him. That I'll just take him out to eat and I'll actually pay. Don't happen very often. I let him pay most of the time. But every now and then, I'll just go pay. Not ask him one question. Just sit and hang out. Because I want him to know that it's not about what I can get from him. It's about I just enjoy him. This is how we are to be with the Lord, that we just enjoy him. We just enjoy in his presence. That's not putting us out to sit in church an extra 30 minutes. Oh, it's a nice day, man. I got to get out of here. I'm tired. I got to. Man, worship's just too stinking long. I got to sit down. I don't feel like it today. Seriously. For us to put ourselves out to worship Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last is he. The one who is and was and is to come. That's who we're spending time with. He's not chopped liver. He's not Josh Stephan. Hallelujah. I'm on Josh today. I don't know why. But to spend time with the Lord, because I'm going to tell you what, that is time well spent. That is time that has eternal ramifications. You know, Julie and I, we were talking about last night about a situation that we're dealing with indirectly. We've made it real indirectly, actually. We've completely washed our hands of it, but we know both parties involved, okay? Pretty well. And depending on which side of the story you get, the view is completely different. I mean, it is completely different. It's true. But depending on which side of the story is how distorted your view is. It's true. And we started to talk about that. And I said, it's funny because if the only way you hear God is through me and you're not listening to your own relationship with Jesus, the only view you're going to have of God is the way I view him. And that's limiting God. I can't do God justice. I can't. I wish I could. I can't. It's a personal God for a personal you that's got personal things for you that I don't understand. That you'll do way better than I could ever think of doing. That you'll see God in a whole different light than I can see it. And then you help me see it the way you see it. This is how the body of Christ works. We spend time with Jesus on our own so that we can add something to the body. Because if we're not, we're actually pulling from the body. We're a dead limb. We need trimmed off. We need to be spending time with Jesus, church. This is how that we will know who he is. So many scriptures talk time and time again. Brent, if you could make your way up here, buddy. Time and time again, scripture talks about seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be answered. Seek, you will find. Spend time with me is what God's saying. Proverbs 8 says, I love those who love me. And those who seek me, they find me. I love those who love me, so I know who loves me by those who seek me. And if they seek me, I'll make sure they find me. James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's pretty simple. But what do these verses all talk about? It talks about us making an effort to seek after God, to spend time with him, to get to know him. 1 Chronicles 22:19. This is King David. He says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary. Begin to get into his presence. Because the ark represented the presence of God. The sanctuary represented the presence of God. And this is exactly what he's talking about here. To seek God with your whole heart. With your whole soul. With everything that is within you. I was reading Exodus chapter 13, 14, and 15 the other night. And I found something very interesting there because it's right where the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, right? And they're on their way out of Egypt at the end of 13. And God says to Moses, says, take them the long way around. I said, wow. That just hit me because I don't like to go the long way around. I like to go straight there. But if Moses wouldn't have been in constant fellowship with God, he'd have never heard God say, go the long way around. Man, so many crazy things happen in chapter 15. Here they are, they're dying of thirst, right? And they start crying out to God. God, we're thirsty. They come upon this body of water. Well, the body of water was stagnant, so it was actually poisonous. They couldn't drink, it was bitter, is what it says. God tells Moses, he says, take that piece of wood and throw it in the water. What? That's pretty crazy. But if he wouldn't have known the voice of God, he'd have never picked up no stinking piece of wood and threw it in a body of water thinking that would make it good. But because he spent time with God, he knew exactly where God was going. He knew the voice of God. How many of us have direction in life that we're trying to find out, that we're trying to figure out where to go? But we can't hear the voice of God. We need to check where we are with God. How much time are we spending in his presence just gleaning from him? Just to get to know him. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto us. If there's things in our lives that we're lacking, seek ye first the kingdom. Watch God provide them. He's a rewarder, the Bible says, of those who diligently seek him. Meaning those who make an effort to go after him, he's a rewarder of those. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my, if the people who have received me would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. It is contingent on us seeking God and praying. Getting into prayer, our land needs healed. And it's up to us, the people who are called by the name of God, to get into the presence of God, to seek his face. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Giving over to the notion that one day there's going to be no more seeking after. Once he returns, that's it. Call upon him while he is near. God is near now. Don't let the time pass you by. Stand to your feet. Seek God while he may be found. Man, don't leave this place today. I say it all the time, but it's so true. Don't leave here the same way you came in. Don't do it. It'd be a travesty. 1 Chronicles 13:3 says, then let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we did not seek it in the days of Saul. This is King David talking. He's saying, bring the Spirit of God, bring the presence of God back to us. Because we never sought it. We never went after it. We weren't hungry for it in the days of Saul. Let me tell you something. The church of Saul or the church of David, one is the church that is driven by the presence of God. The church of Saul is driven by the presence of men. We want to be a church of David that's driven by the presence of God, not by the presence of men. Not by good sermons, not by lighting, not by any of that. But by the presence of God. Everybody just bow your heads with me this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we just worship you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for this now word. I thank you, Lord, that I didn't just speak a prepared word, but that I spoke a now word because you told me to, God. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that there will be fruit from this word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would start to draw all men and women unto Jesus even now. Presence of the living God, fall in this place. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, we're going to open these altars up. Don't be afraid of the altars. Ain't nobody caring. Nobody's looking at you any funny if you come up to the altar, I promise you. And if they are, well then, who gives a rip what they think? This is a time to get alone with God. This is a time to seek his presence. This is a time to just glean from God today. Hallelujah. As Brent sings here, the prayer team will be watching. If anybody comes up, we encourage you. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do not leave this place without knowing Jesus. It's so simple and yet so fulfilling. Lord, bring your people in Jesus' name.